part of the focus on the 2015 budget request is on the management agenda it includes. The executive branch seems to be headed in the right direction, but they are not quite at the destination yet. Chris Mim is managing director for strategic issues at the Government Accountability Office and was a witness at a hearing of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. And Chris, as I watched the hearing and then read through your testimony, it occurred to me that it appears, at least, that the administration takes the high-risk list very seriously, given how closely the PMA and the high-risk list are aligned now, Chris.
Yes, and they do. And it's, Francis, it's great to be back on the show and talk with you this afternoon. The administration has been very good in reaching out to us and others, but reaching out to us on the high-risk list, on our overlap, duplication, fragmentation work, and our other work that's looked at management challenges, and really thinking about how that can be part of the president's management agenda. And we were very pleased to see that many of the high-risk areas and other kind of long-standing management issues that we've identified were indeed covered within the PMA, things like trying to tackle the $106 billion in improper payments and get a handle on that finally, and weapon systems acquisition and strategic sourcing, strategic human capital management. A lot of the big ticket items are on the president's management agenda.
Now, you talked to the committee about implementation, and you wrote in your testimony, lasting success in addressing the difficult longstanding issues on the president's management agenda will hinge on effective implementation. One component in particular struck me, though, you wrote, including sustained top leadership attention. Now, that we hear about that all the time. People make that recommendation, not just you and your colleagues at GAO, but people make that recommendation about all kinds of topics. Why is that so critical, Chris?
Yeah, it's absolutely essential in this area. And the point that the Comptroller General was making in the testimony was that he was saying that you know, these things, especially the high risk issues, they've been on there in many cases since we first started the list back in the early 1990s. And smart people have been working at it. But really, what has to happen is you have to make sure that the most senior leadership is engaged on this, because they're the ones that can devote the resources that are needed in some cases. They're the ones that are best able to track progress and make the decisions if we're still in areas where we're still not making progress. They're the ones that are able to hold people accountable for actually making the progress that needs to be made. One very positive development that the Obama administration has done, and it's a carryover in a fundamental way from what President Bush did, is have with us a series of high-level meetings, and the Comptroller General participates in these. Gene participates with the Deputy Director for Management at OMB, with the senior, either the agency head or the chief operating officer for the relevant agencies. And what they do is they get together on individual high-risk areas, and they have a discussion. Where are we? What needs to be done? Is there a gap between where we are and where we need to be, which there is in many areas? What are we going to do that? And then they relentlessly follow up on those. That's the type of high-level attention we're talking about. We're seeing that on high-risk. One of the things that Gene said in his testimony is that he'd like to, and he's open to, an equivalent set of discussions on some of the big overlap, duplication, and fragmentation issues. We need to have that equivalent, very high level of attention there. We have great staff relations, and those are working real well. I mean, I'm involved in some of that, but we needed to elevate and get the principals involved.
The phrase there that you used that I find the most encouraging, Chris, is relentlessly follow up, because how many meetings have you sat in your years in government, and how many have I heard of that people speak with the best of intentions and even come up with some good ideas, and then everybody goes their separate ways, nothing happens.
Oh, man, isn't that the nightmare scenario? And you're right. I mean, we've all been in those types of things where after some indeterminate point of time, it's usually when the next meeting has to start and you have to give up the conference room, the convener will kind of clap their hands and say, hey, well, this has been great. Thanks. We'll get together again. And you're thinking, you know, no, this has not been great. We've done nothing.
Right.
We've decided nothing. We've each talked. What this is designed to do, and it's actually in this sense similar to the data-driven quarterly reviews, the stat meetings that they're having for the agency priority goals, it's that if you're just going to get together and talk, then save everyone's time. You know, mail the PowerPoints around ahead of time so they can delete them and not have to waste the time on that. But get together, decide what the performance gap is, focus on who's going to do what, and then follow up on that. And if it works, you know, with the change that you put in place, that's great. Look to scale it if that's appropriate. If it doesn't work, quickly go to something else and keep doing it and doing it and doing it until you actually tackle the problems. The other point on this is that these meetings have to be regularly scheduled. If it's just this kind of random coming coming up at whatever point, it's easy to just forget about things. I find in my own life that, you know, the sometimes the greatest action forcing event is a scheduled meeting.
Yep.
You know, that the most effort gets done in the 48 hours before you have to meet.
That's exactly right. It's funny that you said the reference to the stat meetings, because as you described them, that's exactly what I thought of. That's the parallel that I thought of, for exactly the same reasons that the administration implemented the stat meetings, and that is to call regular attention and regular accountability to a set of issues that need focus. We're not pointing fingers. We're not blaming people. We're trying to figure out what we need to do and then do those things to get whatever the situation is the way that it should be.
Absolutely. I mean, if these, and the point that you made that was so good there is that these aren't about accountability in the sense of getting someone in there and beating them up or anything like that. These are collective meetings in which we want to get all the players together with senior leadership and have a conversation based on data about where are we and where do we need to go and what are the changes that we can put in place and how did the last set of changes that we put in place work.
All right. I have to confess, when I looked at the recommendations here that General Dodaro talked about and that you've written about before, I was not quite as encouraged as I was about the first part, because at the very top of the list of recommendations is one that I've talked about a lot on this program, that you and your colleagues at GAO have talked about. There are a number of pieces of legislation pushing it, and yet it never seems to go anywhere, and that is developing a comprehensive inventory of federal programs. It strikes me that it's tremendously difficult to decide what you're not going to do anymore when you don't know what you're doing.
Absolutely, and that was one of the, you know, one of the requirements that was put in the act was that OMB actually would develop this this inventory, and they went out, and the original set of guidance, or the guidance that OMB sent out, allowed agencies pretty wide discretion and flexibility as to how they wanted to define the programs. I mean, that had the virtue that then agencies defined in a way that best made sense in their context. The downside of that, of course, is that it doesn't allow for cross-agency comparisons to be looking for overlap and duplication and fragmentation. So you have some agencies that have identified programs based on their budget structure, some based on their client basis, some based on their organization structure, some based on their program, you know, kind of in the sense of their existing thinking of how their programs operate. It's not that one is right or one is wrong. It's just that when you try and put them together, you're back to square one. You have to really, and so one of the things that we think that is OMB rolls this out right now, it's been just the largest agencies. As they get the largest agencies to redo it, refine it, as they go ahead and include other agencies, they need to ensure far more consistency on how programs are defined.
Chris Mim of the Government Accountability Office. Is it too simplistic of me, Chris, to think, why don't we look at the budget line by line, and if we spend money on it and it's not people, it's probably a program?
No, that's not too simplistic, because what you can do is you can, you know, the beauty of technology is that you can actually tag things in a whole variety of different ways and then allow people to sort things in a way that most makes sense with them. And that's probably at the end the way that at least it seems to us that we could end up being successful in this, is that, you know, you can allow for aggregation or disaggregation. In fact, this was kind of the original vision back in the 1993 version of GPRA. Technology just allows that to be much easier now, because then an individual analyst could sort or based on their own preferences.
Yeah, another one of the recommendations that you make here, Chris, is enhancing the use of collaborative mechanisms. And you write, the mechanisms the federal government uses to collaborate don't always operate effectively. What's the holdup?
Well, it's a number of things, and we, you know, there's actually two stories or two sides of that. One is that the positive part of it is that there is an enormous amount of collaboration that goes on in government, and it's you know, sometimes you see not on your show or on this station, but in other places, about government doesn't work well together or never works well together. That can be a challenge, but there's an awful lot of collaboration that does take place in government. Having said that, though, on the other hand, that a lot of it ends up breaking down or not being nearly as successful as it could be. It's things as simple as getting the various players together and not sorting out at the outset what are the goals that we're trying to achieve. What are the how are we going to measure our collective performance that's taking place? How are we going to pool the resources that are going to be needed in order to work together and to achieve the results that we want? At the end of the day, though, I mean, those are kind of technical and proxy types of things. At the end of the day, the most important thing, as in so many other areas in life, is establishing relationships of trust. list, so that, you know, that the various people that are coming, you know, from different agencies with different political cultures, obviously different political leadership, different committees that they report to on the Hill, yet at the end of the day that they can trust each other and have relationships that, you know, that they can work together. That's building that trust, and those relationships takes time. When it's successful, you see successful collaboration, and when it's not successful, there's no set of process fixes that you can put in place that will work.
All right, so I mentioned that I was maybe a little disappointed with some of the recommendations based on the success that we seem to be having about aligning priorities. So I guess now we're at the silver lining to the cloud to the silver lining as far as I'm looking at these things. Your four recommendations, the two we've talked about, the comprehensive inventory and the collaborative mechanisms, and the two we haven't, and I don't think we're going to have time to mention them, effectively implementing strategic reviews and improving capacity to gather and better use performance information, all seem to be eminently doable, and all seem to be there seem to be plans in place. I mean, it strikes me as it's a little silly that we're still trying to figure out what the definition of a program is. But beyond that, it sounds like these are all things, Chris, that are doable, even given the budget environments that we're in and all of those kinds of things.
Very much, Francis. And it gets back to the very first point that you were making at the outset of the interview. It's about implementation. We can have all sorts of good wishes. We can do all sorts of alignment. We can talk about, you know, yeah, we're committed to making the change. If we don't now kind of do the step-by-step kind of the long grind through the institutions to get this all done, we're going to be back, you know, in another few months or a year talking about the exact same thing and, you know, having the same type of conversation. We're committed. We think the administration is committed to actually making progress in these areas.
Chris, great insight as always. Thanks for coming on the show this afternoon.
Anytime.
Chris Mims, Managing Director for Strategic Issues at the Government Accountability Office, and you can read the testimony from General Dodaro to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee and hear the entire conversation with Chris later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.